Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
He reads a lot better after one semester of college, doesn't he? Good to have some of you folks back. Good morning. Welcome. I want our church to be healthy. Don't you? Don't you want to be a part of a church that's healthy?
Yeah.
And if this is your church, don't you want this church to be healthy?
Yeah.
I think we want that. But sometimes we're not aware that we've got something to do with that. We can influence how healthy our church is, how healthy God's church is. And you may not feel like you can, but you can. I know you can't fix everything, and I know that feeling of powerlessness, but there are some things we can do. And one of the things that we can do, if we want our church to be healthy, in fact, maybe the most important thing we can do is to make the most important thing the most important thing. That may be the most important thing we can do. And so this morning I want to talk about what the most important thing is, because I don't think we have much of a chance of making the most important thing the most important thing if we don't know what that is. And today we're going to do that from this passage that Carter read in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Now, there are a lot of ways you could say what the most important thing is. A lot of similar, overlapping ways. But I think this is a great place to go in Scripture to get a clear grasp of the most important thing. Because these are the final instructions of Jesus. The last thing he taught his disciples before he ascended back into heaven. And you got to think that's going to be something pretty important. Not only are these his last words, but he bases his last words on verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore..." So what he's going to say is based on him having all authority in heaven and on earth. Who has authority with you? Who has credibility with you? Who or what is the greatest authority source in your life? That is, who tells you what to do? Is it your friends? Is it Facebook? Is it your feelings? Is it your desires? Jesus says he has all authority in light of God raising him from the dead. He is now the reigning Lord of the kingdom of God. Which again makes me think, this is a really good place to go to find out what the most important thing is. More important than my friends, more important than my feelings, more important than what I want, are the words of Jesus here. And the words of Jesus here are basically, make disciples. One way of stating the most important thing is that we make disciples of Jesus. And I know that's the right part to pull out of this, because those two words, which are really only one word in the original language here, that's the only word that's in the form of a commandment. It's the only word that has the grammatical form of a commandment. Now, there's some other stuff we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to baptize. We're supposed to teach. But the only one of those words that the Spirit of God inspired Matthew to put in the form of a command is the word make disciples, which makes me think that's the focus of his words. What's more, make disciples encompasses a lot of the other ways that we might want to say what the most important thing is. You could say the most important thing is to glorify God, and I think that would be right too. But a disciple of Jesus will glorify God just like Jesus did. You could say the most important thing is true Christian community, true spiritual relationships. But a disciple of Jesus is going to do that. You could say the most important thing is love. But love is one of the marks of a disciple of Jesus. You could say the most important thing is becoming like Jesus. But that's exactly what a disciple is and does. Someone who is becoming like Jesus. And so in this last statement by Jesus, right after he says, all authority has been given to me, make disciples is a statement of the most important thing. And I think it's a good place to go to figure out what we can do to be healthier as a church. We can make this most important thing the most important thing, in fact. And we're going to talk about that for the next few weeks. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a student. But Jesus isn't teaching theory, and this is his classroom. Jesus teaches truths about God, to be sure, but he also teaches a lot of life, how we're supposed to live, how we ought to be living our lives if we follow him. And so I think the word follower is another good way to translate disciple. We're learners, but we're learning to follow Jesus in the way we live our lives. Well, making disciples, making learners, making followers, here, according to Jesus, includes baptizing them and teaching them. Baptizing them and teaching them. You could say that in some other ways too. But the way Jesus looks at making disciples in this passage is baptizing them and teaching them. In the New Testament, baptism is an immersion in water of a person who has faith in Jesus in response to the grace and mercy of God which were poured out on us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And there's blessings that come with that. And in this passage, that's how you become a disciple of Jesus. Now, if you have that understanding of what baptism is, I think it's pretty clear that you need to be taught some things before you're baptized as well. In fact, if you read later, Acts 14, verse 21, talks about Paul and Barnabas going to a certain city, and they preached the gospel and made many disciples. The gospel needs to be taught for a person to become a disciple of Jesus. So yeah, there's some things that we need to be taught before we're ever baptized. And then when we're baptized, we become disciples of Jesus. We miss sometimes that happened a lot, even during Jesus' lifetime. In John 4 and verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John. So people were becoming disciples of Jesus and getting baptized early in Jesus' ministry. But the rest of the Gospel of John shows that those disciples still needed to be taught a lot of things. And Matthew and Mark and Luke show that those who become disciples of Jesus still need to be taught a lot of things. And Jesus' words here emphasizes the teaching that needs to take place after a person is baptized. Yeah, there's some that takes place before, but a lot that needs to take place afterward. And so this morning we were privileged to see another person baptized as a disciple of Jesus, someone who had been following as best as they could for a lot of years. But then things clicked and the message got clear and Linda got baptized to become a disciple of Jesus. And I bet she will be the first to tell you she probably still needs to be taught a whole lot of stuff. All of us do. And notice that it says teaching them to obey. Not just teaching them theory, but teaching them to obey Jesus. And not even giving them a list of things that they ought to obey, but teaching them to obey. Teaching them how you do that. And I don't know how to say this except real blunt. We've been bad about that. Churches of Christ have been better than a lot of groups, in my opinion, at remembering the vital role that baptism has in the New Testament. But we've also been bad sometimes about exaggerating that role so much that when a person is baptized, we think we're done. And that's not what you read here. What you read here is that you're baptized and then you're taught to obey. Much, much teaching needs to happen after. It is incumbent on us to be doing that. So that's what Jesus says here. One way of saying the most important thing is to make followers of Jesus by baptizing them and teaching them to obey him. Now there's also some emphasis in this passage on the phrase, all nations. And the reason why I say that's an emphasis is because all throughout Jesus' ministry, he focused on the Jewish people. Now he worked with a couple of Gentiles, non-Jews, but his focus was on bringing God's own people back to him. And then at the end of his ministry, he says to his followers, now you go make disciples of all nations. So there's some emphasis on that. Christianity is universal. It's for everybody of every nation. And that's why missions, international missions, has always been an important part of the ministry of this church and always will be an important part of the ministry of this church. Let me remind you though, because we forget this sometimes, that Jesus did not speak these words in Texas. You know, sometimes we read this passage and we look at it from the point of view of Texas. In fact, some of us look at everything from the point of view of Texas. But actually, these words were spoken in Galilee, way east of here, or way west of here. Okay. And from that perspective, he says to go make disciples of all nations, which means we're one of the nations. We didn't even exist when he said it. But we exist now. We are one of the nations where we need to be making disciples. And so if you make disciples here, you're doing a part of the all nations that Jesus envisioned. And by the way, there's folks here from all over the world. There are opportunities to make disciples of a lot of the nations right here in San Antonio. Still, some folks are going to need to go to the other nations, and we're going to support some people to do that. So let me just say again what I said a couple of weeks ago, everybody from every nation is welcome at this church. Everybody from every nationality, everybody of any ethnicity, any race, any color, everybody is welcome here. God is trying to bring humanity together as one, and this is one of the places we see it. So we need to make disciples of all nations locally and internationally. One other thing that Jesus says here that I want to emphasize is in verse 20, and that is he says he'll be with us always to the end of the age, till he comes back again. He'll be with us. We're not alone in this mission. In fact, it's not even our mission. It's his mission. The scriptures are really clear that the Lord opens a door for the gospel, that the Lord opens people's hearts to the gospel, that the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that the Holy Spirit changes people, that you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, not by the human being, that the Spirit of God and God Himself and Jesus sanctify us and change us from start to finish. The mission is God's mission, and we are the servants glorifying Him by participating in His mission. Now here, He entrusts it to us. He wants that mission to take place largely through human beings. So we have an important role to play. But we need to remember that He is with us. We're not doing this on our own. And we need to trust Him to do His work in His mission and humble ourselves and pray to Him and look to Him for guidance in the conduct of His mission. So one of the ways of saying the most important thing is based on these last words of Jesus, make disciples of all nations, and know that I'll be with you always as you do so. Now the leadership of our church wants this to be the new vision for our church. We want this to be the statement of the most important thing. We're not announcing a vision to be trendy. If we're announcing a vision to be trendy, we're at least 30 years too late, okay? That's not why we're doing this. We're doing this to give us a way to focus. We're doing this because if you don't have a focus, you drift off into so many different directions, sometimes into other important things, sometimes into things that aren't important at all. But if you can focus on something that really matters, then you'll address that thing that matters, and it'll help make a healthy church. So we want this to be the focus. I want you to know that this is from the leadership. In fact, I actually want you to know that some of us sat through some multiple really long meetings to discuss this over and over and over again. And I want you to know that because some of us just have to suffer. No, I want you to know that, for one, because I want you to know that it really is owned by the leadership. And then number two, we're going to inflict the same thing on you. We're going to talk about this over and over and over again because we want everybody to get on board with this as the focus of our church. Now, you'll notice the old banner is gone. Loving like Jesus is no longer on the wall, but it is still very much on the table. Because disciples of Jesus love like Jesus. We still very much intend to teach and help each other love like Jesus. That still applies, even as if it is not our official statement of vision anymore. And we are going to talk about it a lot. And we are talking about it in the adult classes right now. And there is a risk that you're going to get tired of hearing it. But we want it to be clear so that it can be reality and not just rhetoric. And the good thing about going to the adult classes is it gives you a chance to discuss it instead of just hearing it. So I encourage you to find a class where you can go and discuss that further. Now, as time goes on, we will give you some very specific ways that you can be involved in this vision, and several ways. When I was growing up, there's pretty much one way of doing this. You know, the method that we had settled on to do it. And if you didn't do it that way, you weren't doing it at all. We don't believe that anymore. There's a lot of ways that we can contribute to something like this, and we will be making those ways clear and known in the weeks to come. But for now, I want to invite you to begin by determining that you're going to make this the most important thing. Remember, you've got some power over how healthy your church is by what you talk about, by what you emphasize, by what you bring up, by what you complain about, not that you would ever complain, by what you talk about the most and want the most, you are giving a focus to the church. And if you don't focus on what the leaders say they want us to focus on, it doesn't matter what the leaders say to focus on. It's up to us to follow the leaders and make this our focus and our emphasis. And one of the ways you can do that is to make sure you are following Jesus. And me, make sure I am following Jesus. So we'll get to some other ways later, but for now, for today, I want to encourage you to make making disciples the most important thing, and to make sure that you are following him as a disciple as well. And if you want to talk to somebody about that or pray with somebody about that, we'll have some of our shepherds and their wives at the back right now while we stand and commit ourselves together.